Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey gang, it's Yasmin here. Before this episode starts, I just wanted to say on behalf of myself and Phil that we recorded these episodes way back before the coronavirus was even a thing. So we thought it was worth mentioning that, because on a podcast about worry, it's kind of strange that we don't ever once mention a global pandemic. Anyway, we worried that if we didn't say it, that you'd worry that we weren't talking about it. So hope that makes sense. And enjoy the show.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm swallowing a mint. I'm swallowing the remnants of a mint.
Everyone calm down. She's just getting a mint into her.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to We Heart Worry.
This is a podcast, a comedy podcast, about what we've been worrying about.
I'm Yasmin Akram.
I'm Philippa Dunn.
And welcome
to
We
Heart Worry.
We're professionals, as you can tell. We've done this millions of years.
A few times, yeah. Yeah. Thanks. So, yeah. What were you going to say?
I was going to go, should we start this again? But let's not. Do you know why? Because this is what we're like, gang.
Yeah.
We're
Slopfest.
We're Slopfest 2019. But we're here for the great and good reason of, here we go, that's a sentence, we want to help people.
Yeah, basically worrying is a really natural part of being a human being.
Exactly.
But what we want to talk about are the worries that you've had the worry and then maybe 2 days later you go, what was that about?
Yeah.
Because it's gone into a place that's maybe weird and wonderful.
Yes.
And you're left questioning yourself going, did I actually worry about, how did I end up worrying about that thing? Because it's very natural to worry about like your health, mm-hmm. your loved ones, mm-hmm. your children, mm-hmm. your work. That's fine. But when you're worried about things like, have I put last year's tax return in with my clothes donation to the charity bin? That's when you kind of go, right, okay, I'm going to press pause on that now.
Yeah. And maybe if we untangle it for ourselves, we might be able to untangle it for other people.
Yes. And also, I've always found personally in the past that mm-hmm.
In the past,
if you can have a laugh at your worries.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm taking the
piss.
No, I didn't want to say that word, but I'm not saying we're doing that. But I found in the past that if you can have a laugh at what you've been worrying about, it takes the heat out of it and you just go, okay, actually, do you know what? It wasn't the catastrophe I was making it out to be. It's actually this funny thing that happened now.
Do you know what it is? It's like if worry was a dinner, cutting it into the bite-sized chunks.
Yeah.
And just saying, this is more manageable than if I tried to put a whole steak in my face.
Yes, or doing that thing you did when you were a kid when you chopped up everything really small and you just mixed it into one big soup.
Did you do that?
And it became, or you'd make one big dinner pie out of your mashed potatoes and chicken and gravy and peas. And it just became,
that's such an Irish dinner.
Sunday lunch, yeah. And you fashioned it into like a disc-shaped meal. And then you just went at it with the fork and it was very easily eaten, mm-hmm. but a hot mess.
Yeah. Well, literally a hot mess.
Yeah.
Of nutrition and goodness.
Yeah.
I never really enjoyed food as a child because my mother could not cook.
Okay.
And I didn't like bits, which I called anything that was like mushed in together, because that was a danger zone for her. She needed to have the you know, very like mash, veg.
Designated food zones, on a plate.
And you don't want to push them into each other because you don't know where it's gone wrong. That's the thing. At least when you have them in their own zones, you can go, that mash is, why is it that lumpy? Has she not even bothered to run a fork through it?
Meanwhile, the carrots are 10 out of 10.
The carrots are 11 out of 10.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, okay. So in your house, you kept everything clear by keeping everything separate.
Yeah, because, you know, you knew something was going to fail in a meal. You just needed to keep your eyes open going in. Like a battleground.
And then what to avoid.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to steer clear of them peas.
Exactly.
It's still my motto to this day.
If in doubt, steer clear of them peas.
So what are we? What we're going to do is, I said, what are we going to do? And then answered my own question.
Yeah.
We're going to each do a worry of the week. What's been going on in our minds. And then maybe offer some solutions. Just talk it through. Just try and make some logical sense out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm going to go first this week. I just realised we're not breaking up the podcasts into different episodes. And then I just realised I tried to do that by that sentence. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just, this is going to be an interesting episode for anyone to listen to. So congratulations.
Yeah.
This is the first time you're going to tune in.
Bear with us.
Yeah, we're getting there. So yeah, will I start then doing my worry?
Please do.
Okay, so this week, all right. This is just a shit show. I'll say that now, right?
Okay, disclaimer.
I decided a couple of weeks ago that I should get a full body checkup. From a doctor. But like I was going to pay for it.
Okay.
And it was spenny, but I was like, I'm going to do it because, you know, I'm getting older and it's good to know if there's anything. Because I'm always convinced I'm going to die.
Okay.
I think like everything, every single day of my life, I say the word diabetes in my head.
Oh.
And it's because I'm half Pakistani. Right,
okay.
Spoiler. And it's very prevalent in Pakistani people to have diabetes. And I eat sugar like that it's last day on earth.
Okay.
And you have to get it all into yourself now.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that that would be a good thing to do. Get the health check, get it all sorted out. So I booked online. I went in. I won't say what healthcare provider it was, but it's a well-known one.
Okay.
And so it's in two separate parts. You do the like blood work and urine, and then you go and see the doctor for the lady bits, right?
Okay.
As soon as I get in the door, Phil, right? As soon as I get in the door, they say to me, we need to take a urine sample. Are you okay to do one now? I've just had a pee.
Ah, like, look, you missed that boat.
But I say, do you know what? I've just had a pee before I come in. Oh. I go, no, no, no. I'm good. Yeah, I can do it.
Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah.
So take the container down to the toilet and I can't even get a third of the way up that little jar. It's sprinkles.
There's mere drops.
It's desert.
Okay.
And instead of going, then I start going to myself, do I go back up to the counter with a little bit of pee in?
Yeah.
Or do I empty the pee and say to them, listen, I was wrong. I don't know why I said it. I just did a pee before I came in. I shouldn't have said it was the right time.
Yeah. Or do I pee a bit and then fill the rest up with water?
Or do I wait because I pee an awful lot? Do I wait 2 minutes in here and hope for the best?
Okay, yeah.
But the thing is, you weren't to bring the urine sample back up to the counter. You were to put it in a little box in the toilet.
Mm.
Like on this little shelf. So then I was going, do I leave a note in the shelf?
BTW.
I shouldn't have said yes to this wee. I shouldn't have said yes.
So I was like, BTW, sorry about everything. Half of this is water. I've already left. In case you wanted to take me to task.
I'm not going to do the assessment because I'm so embarrassed about this. So that's what I did first and foremost, right? Was thinking about doing the letter on top of the urine sample.
Yeah.
Then I said no. So I strained as much as I possibly could.
Oh.
Waited for a few other minutes and I got it like just under a third.
Okay.
Like, thimble full of urine.
Okay.
But I thought if you're going to put like a Q-tip or something in there, you're going to get a good read on it.
Mm.
I was a little bit disappointed, I'll say, sidebar, because it wasn't as clear as it usually is because I drink a lot of water.
Okay.
I just had some like a latte and stuff. So it was quite foggy. It was a coffee way.
Mm.
So I did that anyway. So this is where it all starts to fall apart at this early stage.
Mm.
Then I go in, I get the blood done, get the weight done, get the height done, all that stuff. Beautiful, lovely, very young male nurse, right? He's a dote, as we say in Ireland.
And you got measured within an inch of your life.
Listen, I know I'm 5'7" now.
Oh, officially.
And I said, I knew it. I've been keeping my height a secret from myself for a very long time, but now it's to be clarified
and
I know what it is.
Yeah.
So then he goes off. He says, I'm going to be back in like 5 minutes with the blood tests and the urine sample tested.
Mm.
I mean, God love me. He managed to work out what I gave him. Then he comes back and it was like X Factor then, because he was just going, okay, we're going to go through everything and we're going to just say whether, you know, if it's good or bad. So then he went, you know, weight, good. You're in a normal category. But then as soon as he said weight, you're in a normal category, I said, so do I need to lose weight? And he said,
no,
no, I've just said you're in a normal category. And I went, should I lose about half a stone?
No.
And he said, no, but if you want to, you can, but it's not really necessary. And I went, I just don't want to be overweight.
No, but you were normal.
I was normal, but I was so worried that that was a lie because I'm someone who's battled with my weight my entire life and always, I mean, even when I was a size 8, felt fat, you know? It just, I've never had a moment of, so to see that I'm not thin, but I'm not obese in any way, made me go, well, that's a lie. So how much weight would you like me to lose? Just be honest. So
he went straight there.
I went straight there. And then he's going through my triglycerides and all that kind of other stuff going, you know, like your LDL and your HDL, which are your bad and your good cholesterol.
Never heard them.
Oh, Phil, it's a whole different world, right? So I think your LDL, your bad cholesterol is like little cholesterols that are going around your arteries and they can like cause pile up in your artery. And that means it's harder for blood and stuff to get through.
Okay.
And then your good cholesterol, they're fluffy and they kind of go down your arteries and they clear everything away. Oh. So you want to have more good cholesterol than bad cholesterol. And yes. I do, right?
Oh, very good.
So that was it. He said, good cholesterol, quite high. Bad cholesterol, quite high. But they've evened each other out.
Oh, excellent.
So I was like, oh. Then he says, that's all great. Everything's checking out here. It's time to go into the lady doctor. So I went, okay. So I went into the lady doctor. And this is where it goes. I mean, that was all very tense and I was worrying my arse off. Mm. This is where it's basically a new level of ridiculousness on my part. So we go in, we start talking about the usual things, vaginas, boobs.
Mm.
Of the ladies.
Yeah.
And I said, I'd really like to get a breast check. And while we're at it, let's get a smear done as well.
Okay.
So she's like, okay. So then she checks my boobs, which I've never had a breast check before. And I should, at this stage of my life, I should have had a breast check. So she's, you know, she's moving around. As soon as she says to me, you have to take off your bra. I go, Grant, take off my bra. First thing in my head, I've got hairy nipples.
Oh no.
And I think, is she looking at my nipples thinking, no, they should have had a pluck?
No. No.
She should have gone around one of them with a tweezer before she came in here.
No.
So that's done. And she says, they look grand. Then, right, then she's going down to the vagina, as is her wont.
Yeah.
And she says to me, she says this sentence to me, I'm going to put one finger inside you just to see if there, you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
So I hear the term one finger inside you. And I go, that's a bit sexy. That sounds like a sex thing to say. And then I thought, oh my God, she thinks I think this is sex. Now, no. Philippa, no, of course she doesn't. She's a professional woman who's just said this term and it's fine. In my head, because maybe I'm dirty, maybe there's something wrong with me, have linked, I'm going to put a finger inside you with sex. I've assumed that she now thinks that I think that we're having sex.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
So then to sidestep this, I decide to put my hands behind my head.
To make it all casual, like.
To make it real chill.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So she's going to go, well, obviously she doesn't think this is sex. Because now I'm worried. I'm not worried about her and what she's thinking. I'm not worried that she thinks it's sex. I'm worried that she thinks I think it's sex.
Yes.
So when I have my hands behind my
head.
You're
giving her the signal.
Yeah.
Hang on, don't worry. I'm not thinking that you think that this is sex.
I'm a woman on a day out just getting my bloods taken.
And I'm so casual about it. I'm going to put the two hands behind the head and the two elbows out.
Yeah, the elbows are out. I think I even did it. You know.
Just to get across how relaxed you and how casual this all was.
It was basically a mini break for me.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to put across.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then it ended and then the smear test happened, which we all know if you've had a smear test done, it's
much fun.
Oh. And then after I was leaving, said to myself, now that was weird. That was weird. Like that's a weird reaction because all of that is, I don't know if it's like Catholic shame or guilt or something that I would immediately think that just because someone says the sentence, I'm going to put my finger inside you, that I immediately go to sex and then try and style it out in some, like, I mean, there's never a good time to say to somebody, I think you mean sex.
Was it that thing of like awkward scenario?
Mm-hmm.
So then you just make it awkward for more awkward for yourself in your own head by just kind of raising even more potentially awkward scenarios in your head.
Yeah. I mean, I do that anyway. I won't go, oh, this is feels a little bit awkward and I should just leave it there in my mind. I'll just pile on more awkward.
Let's see what level of awkwardness I can bring this to in my own head.
Yeah. I mean, it could have stopped at the urine sample.
Yeah.
And instead it just was like, now I'm worried about my triglycerides. Now I keep asking, should I lose weight? Now I'm, it's hairy nipples and then it's me basically acting like I'm on a beach towel in Ibiza while someone's finger is in my area.
Oh.
That's not the correct reaction to someone putting their finger in vagina is to put your hands behind your head, Phil. It's not. It's not. Picture that in your head.
I am. No, I'm trying not to.
I should say, don't picture that in your head. Don't picture me. Picture a different person.
Yeah.
And that. No, do you like mannequins?
But I'm picturing your face looking at the ceiling with the two hands behind your back, and your eyes are like moving rapidly, going, please stop making this awkward for yourself. Yeah. Please stop. Because I know that's what I would say to myself. Yes. Why don't you just like count to 10 and try and wind it down a bit, and this doesn't have to be, you're making it worse for yourself, you're just making it worse for yourself.
You're making it worse, that's what I was doing. And then when I left, going, oh, Jesus, that was absolutely unnecessary.
Yeah, did I need to bring it there? Sounds like a classic anxious moment.
Yeah.
Starting with number one, the pressure's on, the minute you're handed that pee cup.
Yeah, when I, and instead of looking after myself and
going, sorry, not today.
Yeah. I don't have it in me. Give me a glass of water and some time.
Yeah.
I said, no, I can make this work.
You put yourself under pressure the minute you walked in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it unraveled like a ball of yarn.
It went away from you.
So I don't know, moving forward.
Yeah.
How I would approach. I mean, maybe this might be a question for any doctors out there. And if you have an answer, please send us an email at weheartworry@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah, we've got an email address.
Yeah, we check it all the time. And say, any doctors out there, if I were to say to you in that situation, God, it's very odd that you just said you're going to put your finger inside me. That sounds a bit like sex. Would you blush? Would you say, madam, that's inappropriate? Should I just not mention sex at all when it comes to vaginas? Or can we just not reference the fact that is a normal link to make in a mind?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's too many questions, isn't
it? It's a lot of questions in one there.
Yeah.
I would assume that woman was just doing her job.
Yeah.
When I go into a scenario like that, yeah, I'm just like, don't make this, I give myself the talk, don't make this any weirder than you think it already is, because these people are professionals.
Yeah.
They've seen it all.
They've seen so many vaginas. I was probably her 18th vagina that day.
Absolutely. And it's just another happenstance in her day. Means very little to her. She's gone about her business. Hairy nipples, I wouldn't even, that's just natural. That's just the way they go.
Listen.
That just happens.
I'm glad, because sometimes I think the world is pretending that they don't, like everyone's pretending they don't get hair on their nipples.
Excuse me.
I got hair on my shoulder.
I've got one hair that grows out of my scapula.
Where's
scapula? It's my collarbone.
Oh, that's quite.
Oh yeah, and it's one.
That's quite regal.
It can get. Oh yeah, well, it makes me conscious now sometimes when I'm wearing a top and I haven't checked in a while, because it's a bit sporadic in growth.
Sure.
Sometimes I look at it; it'll be an inch and a bit, and I go, I need to fucking tend to that right now. Where's my tweezers?
Yeah,
or
get it.
If there's no tweezers, just thumb and forefinger.
You'll give it a little.
Oh, I'll give it a quick. Quick pull.
Sometimes I can't get a purchase on a hair with my thumb and my forefinger.
Yeah, give them a good rub on your jeans.
Oh, good.
Wipe off the excess oils and then just go at it again.
And then just get it out of there.
Persist, yeah. And then sometimes I look at it and it won't be there at all.
Yeah.
But sometimes I do think, like, so say if I was wearing, not that I wear low-cut tops, but more of an open-necked top.
Scoop neck.
Yeah. I'd be sitting there and we'd talk to someone and I go, is that hair there at the moment? Is it there? Is it there? I should have checked. I should have checked before I left the house. I should have checked before I left. I need to monitor that more closely. And I need to actually probably set a bi-monthly alarm on my phone to check for that hair on your shoulder.
I have a hair on my arm that I just cut today. So I'm okay. feeling quite smug because I can't even show it to you because I gave it a little... It's like coming out of a mole. Yeah. You never know what's good or bad or what you should do with that.
I don't know.
But I've had all my checks done, Phil, so I know I'm in tip-top healthy form.
Yeah, actually, did they give you the mole check?
They gave me the mole... No, they didn't give me the mole check. Maybe that'll be the thing that's wrong. But I don't have diabetes.
Okay.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And also, the lovely nurse man said to me, you obviously eat an awful lot of avocados and nuts and stuff because you've got a lot of, like... I can't remember what it was.
Healthy fats.
Hmm. I do in me hoop, but I said to him,
Yes, I do.
I'm wall to wall with them, Joe. I can't stop. I can't stop with the healthy fats.
That's all I have in the press right now.
I just need, who lives on various different kinds of cereals. I wasn't going to advertise which ones, but yeah. So your body can lie for you. It's a great old friend.
Mm.
It's a great old partner in crime.
Yet more smoke and mirrors in this thing that we call life.
You really do, Phil.
So if you were to go back and get that whole situation done again tomorrow, what would you say to yourself?
I'd say it's absolutely normal and right for a healthcare professional to put their finger inside your vagina. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just be tense if you feel tense, or just know that it's normal and she doesn't think that you think it, like no one thinks that you think it's sex. You think it is sex in a way because I made that connection in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Doesn't mean it is sex.
It was just a thought.
And I just kind of felt like that was life advice for myself. Yeah, sometimes doesn't mean it's sex. When I'm going, that man touched me on the hand. Maybe he really likes me. No, he just touched me on the hand. Doesn't mean it's sex.
Yeah.
So that was mine this week, Phil.
Yeah.
And I know.
Sounds like a stressful situation where, you could potentially run away with yourself in your head.
Oh, yeah. And, I ran places.
Yeah, yeah.
I ran all night. But I then, it's, you, now at this stage of my life, I'm at a point where it doesn't run away with me for days and days.
Oh, yeah.
Now I can just go, that's an odd reaction that I had. Isn't it amusing? Rather than in kind of like making it a shameful thing, which I did a lot of my life. I would do something stupid and then go, you're such a fucking idiot. Why did you fucking do that?
Yeah, you gave yourself a chastising.
Get yourself some gas and air and breathe deeply.
We're talking on the phone while he had his arm inside my vagina.
In my head, I was saying, could you go and see if the anaesthetist is free? And what I was actually saying out loud was, help me!
CD player doesn't work.
I was like, I'm sorry! I'm a fucking CD player! Where's my playlist?
That's One Torn Every Minute with me, Beth Murray. Available now from Great Big Owl.
Help me!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Would you want to do moving into your worry of this week?
Yes, this week...
Mm-hmm.
I touched on it there at the very, very start.
Go on.
And it didn't happen this week, but I can foresee it happening sometime soon because there are two full bags of unused clothes sitting in my home office right now that I really need to discard, but I'm holding on to it because I have the same fear every time I go to throw old clothes in the big, you know, the big metal bins.
Yes.
The recycling bins with that big drawer.
Sometimes they've got cow print. on the front of them.
Oh.
They did the one that was near me. For
the one that you're recalling to your mind.
Yes,
has that,
yeah, the, yeah, the image.
The one near me, I think, is green.
It's classier than a cow print.
I don't know.
So you've got two big bags in the home office. Also, P.S. Congratulations, Phil, for having a home office.
Oh, that's thank you. I don't want to say how much gets done and doesn't get done in that house, but in that
nice,
room.
It's nice to have the intention of it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when people are around you go, oh, it's just up in the office. You make yourself sound really sophisticated.
I just have to tinker in my office for a bit.
Oh, we have a desk. I've never used the word desktop so much as I have in this year. I've never used the word desktop because I always didn't know what it meant. Just computer. Doesn't computer work
computer
for everyone?
On the top of your desk.
Yeah. But anyway, this year I've started just to say, oh, we have a desktop in our home office. And I don't know why. I think it makes me feel like I'm grown up or something.
Oh, do you know, that's a very, very grown up sentence to say.
Yeah.
We have a desktop in our home office.
I bandy that one around now when I need a bit of a boost.
At a drinks do, if you said that to me, I'd with my glass of champagne, turn around to my friend and go, she's got it made, Nigel.
Yeah.
She's got it.
Yeah, because if I was at that same drinks thing and I heard someone saying, I've got a desktop in my home office, I'd make this noise. Oh, no. How's that going for you?
Impressed.
Yeah. Oh. This is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Look at that. Oh, God. Oh, look. Come on. It's all an act. Yeah.
That's the best noise to make.
Oh, yeah.
Sidebar, and not bringing it back to my worry too much, but that's not the noise you should make when someone says they're going to put their finger in your vagina.
No.
Oh, yeah.
So free. But you know, when you're in a few years, when you're going to get your another checkup done.
Just don't make that noise. Don't confuse desktops and vaginas.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. So in this home office, there are two full bags of clothes that I'm not wearing that need to be recycled.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been sitting there now for months. And the thing that's stopping me from recycling, said Vetements, is that every time I go to put these bloody clothes in the clothes bin,
mm-hmm.
I get this worry that I have somehow left something important mixed up within in the clothes themselves, like either pockets, down in a shoe, wrapped up in a scarf, up the sleeve of a top. And the things that I imagine I've left in there range from, you know, my last six months worth of bank statements to... Yeah. You know, last year's tax return.
Mm-hmm.
Sensitive information to do with not just maybe my, it doesn't have to be my financial situation, but it's just sensitive personal information that I don't want
out there.
The kind of stuff that you'd put in the shredder.
Yeah.
You know, and because actually the shredder is located close in the home office, I also have a shredder. I'm feeling so grown up. I have a shredder near my desktop. And in between the shredder and the desktop are these two said bags of clothes, right?
Yes. So, which also hint that things are going very well.
Oh, kind, yeah. And then I think maybe while I was moving from the desktop to the shredder, I put the sensitive information somehow in the
bag. Look, and then the bag, and then so you put it into the bag, and not only did you put it into the bag, it made its way up a sleeve,
or it got folded into four, and it's in the pocket of a jeans. Look, these are all thoughts that are very unhelpful, and they are thoughts that I find very worrying, and they stop me from doing simple tasks like throwing out clothes that I don't need anymore. And I'm rationally able to know that these are thoughts. These are just thoughts. But it doesn't stop me from, when we get to the clothes bin, you know, ideally you take that one big bag and you put it in that big metal mouth and you close the thing and bye.
Yeah.
Right, the clothes are gone. I stop there and I go, wait, hang on. And I've probably done this checking already at home. I've probably gone through all the legs of the trousers, the pockets, the sleeves of the tops, the down into the shoes. I've done all this at home before I've packed the bag. But I have to do it again at the actual bin just in case I have missed anything.
Sure.
I've never found anything. Not even so much as a sweet wrapper.
But
that's the level of checking I've gone to. And I have that in my wealth of past experience to know, like, I do check things properly. I don't overlook stuff.
Mm.
I've never had the scenario where I have actually left something important in an item of clothing or whatever. But it still just keeps happening.
Yeah, it's interesting because, and I'm going to throw this out there, Phil, It sounds like, and I get this an awful lot, so I'm saying this, and this is how I feel in those kinds of situations. It's almost like a mistrust of yourself.
Absolutely.
And it's that thing of, I did it only last night. I was putting the alarm on my phone and I said it and went in and brushed my teeth. And when I came back, I thought to myself, I haven't set that for the right time. Even though I said, no, I remember. I remember putting it to 7.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So it's that weird thing that we do where we, on one level, know that we've checked all that, you know, you know that you've checked them before. You know that you're a checker.
Yeah.
And yet there's a thing in your head that goes, no, 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 I don't trust you.
Yeah.
We need to go through all of this.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people relate to that. Yeah. Because we do that all the time, don't we?
Yeah. And I think it's also the moment a shred of doubt comes into your head, you fully don't trust yourself at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're certain about something, I'm certain about that. I'm certain that's my birthday. That's fine. That's a fact. No doubt around doubt about that.
Yeah.
But then you set your alarm and you go, did I? And the minute that doubt jumps in, you go, chances are.
Yeah.
Because I don't trust myself.
Yes.
I didn't do it right.
Yeah.
I know. It's one of those things. Now, if I was to help myself out and be kind of proactive about it, what would help is if I just, when it came to me dumping those clothes, I threw them in without giving them even a second's glance. Because chances are, here's the funny thing. This is the funny thing that always smacks me about the head after it's done.
Yeah.
The minute that thing is closed and you've walked away, you're on to the next thing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like there's a space created, and now something else will come in to just fill that up.
Yeah.
But it's that thing of, why do we do that though? Why do we kind of go, we say to ourselves in our head, you're wrong about something. But equally, if we feel like we're right about something that's also bad, we'll go, you know, like, my boyfriend hasn't texted me back. He's dead or he's cheating on me or something. Mm. I know that's true. And then about 2 hours later, he texts you and you just go, oh, okay, yeah, no, that was fine. But for those 2 hours, you're convinced that there's something wrong, or, you know, even so you're right in a bad way. And then you're wrong in a good way. I've lost myself here.
Basically, nothing's ever good.
Nothing's ever good. Nothing's ever right. But everything is wrong. And all of the bad feelings of this is going to happen, or this has already happened, or I will fuck this up. It's just there.
I think it's a series of negative thoughts that you can find yourself slipping into.
Yeah.
And once you're in those negative thoughts, the next negative thought comes along.
Do you ever have a moment of instead of doing the whole, oh, stop being such an idiot, which is what I do, having a moment of going, no, I think I've got this. I think I know myself enough to know that I wouldn't leave a bank statement or anything. So I'm just gonna take a punt on myself in this situation. Mm. And if I'm wrong, if I've thrown 20 bank statements in there, I'll hold my hands up and say, yeah, that was me, and we'll deal with it from then on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I would never do that. I'm just throwing it out as an option.
Yeah. See, I think that's a practice is helpful to get into.
Yeah.
Is one of, cultivating trust in yourself.
Yes.
Instead of, because the more you doubt yourself and the more you do that checking, you use that word there, checking, I would call it the same thing. That's a classic safety seeking behavior. The more safety seeking behaviors you do, the more you doubt yourself. So it's a losing battle to keep doing all that checking anyway.
Yeah.
So best thing to do is just cultivate trust in oneself, in one's ability to pack clothes into a bag and then discard of them.
And then let them go. I just thought of something interesting that might help you and other people. But I remember I had a lot of trouble with binge eating, and for many, many years, just like massive, like you couldn't leave me alone with a packet of biscuits because I'd go to fucking town.
Yeah, there's no such thing as one biscuit.
There's the packet. That's how I count one biscuit, is the packet.
The packet, one biscuit, it's this one unit of biscuits.
And I remember going to, and I have a massive respect, so I'm not in any way slagging off or putting down 12-step programs, because they've saved the lives of so many people that I know. But I went to OA, Overeaters Anonymous, and I remember sitting there and going, this is great, but there's something that's not working for me in this scenario. I don't know what it is. And I read this book by this woman called Janine Roth. It was called When Food Is Love. Mm. And the way that she said it was, because when I was in OA, and it could have been the particular meeting that I was in, again, not slagging off OA in any way, people were saying things like, so I eat three meals a day and I can't have any sugar because that's a trigger for me.
Mm.
And I was kind of going, but not trusting myself around food is what has gotten me into the, like, mistrust of myself is what's gotten me into this mess.
Right.
So what can I do to kind of trust myself again?
Mm.
So when I read the book, she kind of said, any kind of compulsive behavior is a moment where you're trying to get away from pain. And what you're doing is, whether that your drug of choice is food or sex or whatever it might look like, drugs, you're leaving your body in a moment to try and come back to it at a certain point, so that you've basically sidestepped the bump of pain.
Okay, you've gone around it instead of through it. You've gone
around it. And also what happens then is that bump of pain hasn't been sorted. Yeah, it hasn't been.
Or it's been addressed and acknowledged.
So it's still in you and it's still going to come up again. Whereas if you just see, oh God, I want to go over to the cupboard and I want to eat everything that's in there and more. If you have those kinds of thoughts, sit down and feel your pain, which is fucking horrible.
Yeah.
It's like 2 minutes of absolute, oh God. And then suddenly it's just gone. And then the need to do that is gone. And then the more that I did that, now I'm at a point where I can be at home and I can have biscuits in the cupboard. And after a month, I haven't eaten them.
Mm.
And it was learning to kind of say the biscuits, the crisps, whatever, that's not the problem. The problem is that when I feel a trigger of not feeling good enough or whatever kind of pain it is, I try to leave my body with food.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, in that, just what you said, what we were just talking about there, reminded me slightly of the mistrust of self and how we learn to kind of come back to ourselves and say, because maybe, and I'm just offering it, Phil, you know, I'm not a certified doctor. I haven't put my finger in anyone's vagina, okay. So I can't offer any advice in that way.
Okay.
But maybe there is an element of pain, but like there's a discomfort in doing something
absolutely.
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah. As you were talking about the sitting through the discomfort, that is exactly what I need to do. I just need to sit through the discomfort of throwing something away without trying to resist the urge to check.
Yeah.
Sit through the discomfort, acknowledge the discomfort, and then once it's done, chances are I'll go, yeah, it was uncomfortable there for 45 seconds and now where am I?
Yeah.
I'm still here. It's all, nobody's died.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the thing, because I think in parts of our brains, we do think we're going to die with certain, you know, bits that come up and make us feel uncomfortable.
I think you do. You've said this twice now.
I know, yeah. It's really,
see, I don't care. If I died,
I'd miss you.
That's fine. But I don't personally care if I die.
If on your tombstone, I'd be like, don't care.
Don't care. Yeah. Never have.
That's in brackets. Oh, yeah. She was a fine one, that Philippa. So, I mean, I feel like maybe we should go into now. Look at me curating the show. Do we want to talk about things that we've been doing to make ourselves feel better about our anxiety this week?
Sure. I'll posit one.
Yeah, go, Queen.
It's the summer months.
Yes.
And I'm getting into gardening. And I have a few plants out the back now in pots and in the ground.
Yes.
Variety.
Right.
And I just bloody love getting up in the morning and checking on them.
Really?
And I spend ages just looking at them. And then I kind of do a mental check of, oh, that's grown overnight. Or that got nibbled away by something there. I need to maybe
a slug.
Yeah. The slugs were out. And then I'll also pay attention, did it rain in the night? Which means, like, does that mean I have to water them more or less? You know, and it kind of just, it gives me a nice little focus, a little project outside of the house that's takes me away from the desktop.
Is that in your home office?
It's in my home office. and actually from my home office, I can look out and see a few flowers out the front.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's got a view.
It does.
It's got a vista.
It's got a vista of a tree and some outdoor plants. But like the real magic is happening out the back.
Oh,
so
that's a sentence.
Yeah. So I'll
sorry, I told you I have a dirty mind.
So I leave the home office and I'll venture out. It's a nice little 10-minute break, go out, check the plants, have a chat with them, see what's happening. Is the honeysuckle grown up the pole yet? What are the aphids doing on that dahlia there?
That's lovely.
I have a hydrangea that I'm currently obsessed with. Sorry, that's two number hydrangeas that I'm currently obsessed with.
Really?
Yeah, because I have a hydrangea that went in last year, got planted last year, and I thought it had died. Oh. But it's making an epic comeback. A lovely reminder of the renewal of nature and that just nature is the business.
Oh. I'm trying to think what it would be like as a person. Like, who's had a massive comeback recently?
I don't know much about pop culture at the moment.
No, neither do I.
So I've nothing to offer.
I kind of go, Barry Manilow?
No.
Barry? No.
I don't know what he, you know. And then I have a mystery hydrangea that I bought from a charity shop last year for £2.
Was it labelled mystery hydrangea?
No, I didn't even know it was fully hydrangea. I kind of had a hunch.
Yeah.
So I went into the woman behind the counter and I said, hi, that thing out the front there, is that a hydrangea? All there was green leaves, right? And she said, yeah, in the same kind of way you'd go.
Whatever.
Just, it doesn't matter, it's £2, just buy it. So I went, that's what I said to myself. It doesn't matter, it's £2, just buy it. So I bought it, £2. I'm glad now to say it's three times the size it was from when I purchased it last year.
Wow.
I thought it wouldn't. Apologies if this is boring anyone, but I'm getting a kick out of it.
I know, it's this is your safe space.
Do my eyes look alive?
Yeah, do you know what? You seem really sparkly.
I am. Because I thought this thing wasn't going to flower this year at all. It's got three mini buds appearing. And that's going to be my jam now over the next 6 to 8 weeks, monitoring that and to see like what colour it'll be when the flower comes out.
No, do you know what? I think gardening a lot of the time has goes hand in hand with self-care. Because the ability to care for other things, I think, knocks on to your ability to care for yourself.
Yeah. It cultivates a kind of a sympathetic, loving approach to things.
Yeah.
It's a goodwill thing. I have all the goodwill in the world for my plants.
Yeah.
And I think it's transferring onto me in a weird way.
Yeah. No, I believe that. I think that would be really, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's
Also, what? Well, I think they've always said that like gardening is a good like physical way to get you out of your head.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that gets you into your body, using your body and takes you away from your thoughts, that's good.
Yes.
But I also read recently, now this could be early days, so don't quote me on this, and I don't know how exactly, I should have even Googled it before I say this, but they were saying also that there's something to do with if you work with soil.
Right.
There's bacteria in the soil that could actually be a part of this good, healthy gut bacteria. And once you've got the, you know, the link between the good gut and the mind.
It's your second brain, isn't it?
Yeah. As I said, probably early days on that, but I'm going to keep observing any news that might arise out of that.
Ooh.
Now, I don't do much hand in soil stuff at all. I'm a watering can and a looking kind of gardener.
Hand on the hip.
Yeah.
Looking out, surveying the beauty.
And I wish I could do this body language over the air, but that thing where, you know, where you bend over and you put your two hands on the tops of your knees and you kind of just stare at something for ages. You're kind of half bent over and you're just looking at things.
Yeah, enjoying them.
And then when you stand back up, you go, oh, God.
Yeah, little, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to.
Yeah.
That's Phil.
Yeah.
That's living.
That's working for me now.
Yeah.
And you?
Me, quite similar. Kids, which are the plants of the human world.
Yeah.
They're my two best friends. They're respective kids.
Yeah.
One's 6, one is 19 months old. Mm. They're just blowing my mind. And they're just a bundle of fun. Yeah. And the things that they come out with are just, and especially the 6-year-old is coming out with some real nuggets. Like, we've had some talks about gravity, death.
Oh.
And other things like that. So he's just amazing. And then the little one, she is just laughing at everything.
Brilliant.
And she's cuddling and she's, you know, so that's, I think sometimes when I get really in my own head and I get a little bit down and I feel like the world is maybe a cruel place, being around a child, especially a child who loves you and knows you, they're just these oceans of love.
Yeah.
And just, they have no problem expressing themselves and just being so loving and so okay with being loving. Mm. It just, it blows my mind because I just
go. You have the crack
with them.
And the busyness of being around them really gets you out of your head.
Yes.
Because you just don't have time to think.
Yeah. They're just in, I mean, I know it's like a real actory thing to say, but they're in the moment. They're just in the moment.
They're in the moment. They're very in the moment, which makes you be in the moment.
Exactly. It takes you out of all that. And sometimes I was babysitting the 6-year-old and there was a moment where he was getting into bed and he was, you know, chatting to me. And I got a little bit like, oh, you know, should I be doing something? I've got that email to send, and went, oh God, no, there's going to be a time where he doesn't want to tell me about his day and he doesn't, he's just not going to be remotely interested. And so I've got to just, the email is not important. He's really excited about having me babysit for him, and that's not going to last forever, is it?
No.
I mean, it'd be weird if he was 16 and I was still trying to babysit him.
Yeah.
Some people would talk.
Yeah.
All the people would talk. So that's it then. That's it for this episode. Thanks for joining us. I feel like I want to apologise and say that I feel like I was a little bit all over the shop in this episode. It took me a while to warm into it. And then I felt like I was in a bath of comfort and joy and tidings of comfort and joy. But I just want to say that now. Just want to.
That's fine.
It's a safe space, isn't
safe
it?
Safe space.
If you want to email us in about your worry. To the safe space and just say, oh, I have this worry. It's, as we've said earlier on the show, it's weheartworry@gmail.com.
weheartworry@gmail.com.
Thanks very much for joining us, gang. If you want to talk to us, do that. Email in and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Face those Twitter notifications? Forgot to watch anything but Netflix? Dreading the video conference small talk at 9? You need a news vitamin, you know. You need the Smart 7. It's a brand new daily podcast that puts your brain into gear. Everything you need to know in less than 7 minutes. You need the smarts? Hey, we got the smarts. The Smart 7, every weekday at 7 a.m. Available right now on Spotify and all the usual places.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.